Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast today for Quality of Life Month, November 2020. Having such a good time exploring quality of life and diving deep into this wonderful category. Today's podcast episode is a Member of the Month interview, and it is featuring a Lifebook veteran and an all-around very great person that I am excited to be speaking to today. Elizabeth Gerlach is on the phone. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I am doing wonderful. It's awesome to talk to you, Jordan. Hi.
Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you. And for the listeners, I know that you and I have been speaking off air back and forth for quite some time. But for the listeners, why don't you get a little brief introduction about yourself and what brought you to the Lifebook program?
I'd be happy to. Super excited to be here after having Lifebook in my life for quite a while. Would say I am an uprooted German. I have been bouncing around the planet for the last 7 years. I am also an art, culture, and fitness lover, and consider myself a very lucky and very happy woman. On a career level, I take business ideas out of visionaries' heads and make them reality. The less inspired would maybe call that being a project manager. And I am also a dating coach. And actually, wow, a lot of the things I just said are thanks to Lifebook. I've been with Lifebook for 4 years now, and it really landed on my lap without me seeking it out. I was very lucky. I consider it one of the best synchronicities of my life, because just as I was starting a new chapter, I was given the opportunity to participate in a Lifebook Live seminar. Mm-hmm. And man, it was a big moment of breakthrough. So
I bet.
I had a Lifebook for 4 years now. I have been meeting weekly with my Lifebook accountability group for almost 3 years now.
Wow.
And yeah, it has changed my life more than anything else, to be honest. I'm not getting paid to say this, guys. It's the truth.
That's incredible. I absolutely love it. Before we dive deeper into your journey and quality of life itself, it sounds like this probably wasn't your first personal development, self-improvement rodeo, if you will, your first trip down the self-improvement lane. How do you feel that Lifebook differs from other programs, other books, other strategies for life improvement?
I think it ties back to what was somewhat of my biggest aha after walking out of the Lifebook seminar, and that I felt so light and liberated all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it was like Lifebook kind of lifted the weight that all the other personal growth courses and books and everything put on my shoulders off. Because I had so much. I had like my bucket list and my self-improvement strategies and my goals. And I was mildly anxious about having to get around to all of them as soon as possible.
Wow, that's actually a great metaphor. I don't mean to cut you off, but that's, you're right, because even when you're given tools that are effective, sometimes if you're not given them in the correct category or the correct order, they can be burdensome. That's a really great point that I've never really considered, Elizabeth.
Yeah, so that was 100% me. And then Lifebook was given to me, and all of a sudden, I knew everything was accounted for. It was all written down, but I did not have to get around to everything in the next 2 months. So
wow,
that was really a game changer for me. And that's why I think Lifebook is kind of the master key to all the other personal growth stuff you might want to do in your life.
Well, I've asked that question a lot, and that was one of the most insightful answers that I've ever received. So I really, really like that. I want to dive into your travel and your work in art and all of this stuff. But let's start with quality of life. What did your quality of life category look like before Lifebook? What did it mean to you before Lifebook? And how did the program change how you look at your quality of life?
Honestly, I thought quality of life is something I would get around to later. Something that would just happen as I progressed through life.
Mm-hmm.
And now it sounds so obvious to me, but when I first actually sat down and planned and wrote about my quality of life, it was such an eye-opener that, of course, I can start actively designing things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just making this decision that I am deserving of good things and can start to live as fully and joyously as possible in this moment and don't really need to wait for anything to happen in any other category. Mm-hmm. And kind of like giving myself this permission that like fleeting happiness is okay. It's not a waste of time. Life itself is fleeting and you should enjoy it right now and honor the gift that it is by having a good time.
Yes. Yeah. I love that thought. It's a thought that's come up literally every interview, Elizabeth, which is, you said it in a little bit of a different way, but it's the opposite of the limiting belief, I'll be happy when I get rich. I'll be happy when I get out of this job that I hate. I'll be happy when I get into a job that I love. I'll be happy when I'll get into a marriage. I'll be happy when I'll get out of a marriage. The trick to I'll be happy when, the trap to I'll be happy when, is that you're defining that you won't be happy until. And then sometimes when you get there, you're still not happy. So you're right. It's about finding happiness now and real lasting enjoyment. Well, really any sort of pleasantness that I think that you can create in your daily life, but focusing on the now, that's key. Because humans have this incredible ability to project ourselves into the future. It's what separates us from the animals. You know what I mean? We can think of different possible outcomes. But if you live there, that can drain your quality of life. You know what I mean? Am I making sense there?
It makes perfect sense. And I think it's such an interesting thing to navigate for life bookers, to be very grounded in the now and enjoy life and make the best of every day, but also have this grand long-term vision that you're always progressing towards.
100%. Yeah, that's so true. Because when you're working in your life book, you are projecting, but certain categories remind you of your duties, of your responsibilities, right? The health and fitness category comes to mind. Like, yes, you're planning for the future, but it's also reminding you like, yeah, you got to eat healthy today. And here's why. Same thing with quality of life. Same thing with love relationships and parenting and how you treat other people. But you're right. It's still a process of living in the future. And like I said, I think that's just common knowledge among a lot of spiritual practitioners. You know what I mean? That living in the moment is, there's a lot of benefits to living in the moment. So you have to incorporate that, especially as a life book member. You're 100% right, Elizabeth.
Yeah. And I think once you kind of wrap your head around that thought, I actually really enjoy kind of the parts of life where there's this duality, like you need to juggle these two things that, and one doesn't really take priority. And how do you do that the best to keep growing and keep yourself happy and fulfilled?
Well, I don't know, Elizabeth, I think that we're going to go off on a tangent here, but we have to, because you're pointing towards a bigger thought that I really wanted to dive into for Life Vision Month. And it's basically that humans are pattern-making machines, and we're also dichotomous, if that's a word. We split things into twos. Everything's binary. It's either yes or it's no. And I think that we're kind of blending into this world where we realize that truth is actually something more complex than that. So when you're talking about, you know, looking at your life vision, it's kind of similar. There is no one right answer. You have to incorporate the nuances and complexities. You take a look at health and fitness and whether or not it's okay to eat a sweet treat, to eat a chocolate bar, let's say. Now, that's never going to be a set answer. I mean, unless your answer is I'm never going to eat chocolate again and you really are dichotomous, it's about the balance. It's about knowing in the moment what the right, correct choice is. I know that's a vast simplification, but it goes to everything, you know, working out. You don't want to go too far on that, you know, putting priorities in any category over others. It's really interesting to where I just think that truth is kind of a sliding scale and the right answer is kind of a sliding scale. Humans don't like that. We want to be told one thing, right? Right. That's why we love the guru model. We want to be told the answer. But the answer is kind of ever changing, even in our own experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I 100% agree. I've been starting to think about my life vision also as the year is nearing a close. And it's something very, I know, it's so curious to me. It's like a very interesting, almost intellectual exercise to be like, yeah, all these dualities, like living in the now and in the future, security and like being at the edge of your comfort zone, rationality and spirituality. And it's kind of fun for every individual, I think, to find that sweet spot for them.
That's where exactly
it's like
what
their
I'm
perfect edge. Yeah.
That is the duality.
Cool thought. Yes.
Okay. I'm glad that you totally exemplified my point there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And being comfortable with those dualities, right? Because it would be nice to just say, this is what I'm going to do, right? When you talked about, you know, pushing your comfort zone, but also being secure. It's your brain wants to settle on something, but accepting fluidity, accepting change, and accepting duality, I think that's a very evolved stance to take.
And I've encountered it many times, actually, with I've been with my Lifebook accountability for 3 years, as I said. And there are often times where one person doesn't have the capacity to live in this, like, I have this elaborate future plan that I'm working towards space. And they need to retreat more into the, like, security in the now and taking care of me. And right. I think it's such an interesting thing that Lifebook teaches over time, to like comfortably move back and forth between certain poles.
So true.
And yeah, finding that balance for yourself.
Oh my gosh. This is a powerful member of the month interview. I feel like we're vibing here, Elizabeth. that was a very, very astute point. I think we were on the exact same page there. I want to make sure that we make time to talk about some of the most exciting things that I want to talk to you about, including travel and including art. We're here at Quality of Life Month, and it's funny. I think that the newer generations, I mean, the young generation were millennials, but now there's the Gen Zs, Gen Xers, or whatever it is. Mm. They all appreciate travel and experiences, which I think on one hand is extremely evolved because, man, is there anything more powerful in your quality of life and in your life experience than something like travel, exposing yourself to the world and expanding your consciousness? Let's start with travel. What does travel mean to you and your quality of life?
Man, it's such a big factor because I think a lot of my growth comes from immersing myself in other cultures. And so I think actually you said like travel and art, they kind of intersect for me anyway.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. So actually one of my annual goals for the year is to immerse myself more deeply into both my local art and culture scene and also travel abroad and do the same and be a bit more methodical about my traveling because I realized in the last few years I was very opportunistic, which was also awesome. But there are like a few travel goals, a few destinations that I really want to get to.
Ooh, I love that.
Well, but then there's the thing that right now for this year, I was stuck in one country. And for a good chunk of that, I was stuck in one city in one apartment.
Oh my gosh, because of COVID. I mean, talk about everything throwing quality of life for a loop. Where were you? What happened?
Well, I live in Malaysia. And honestly, I need to give the Malaysian government credit. I think they managed COVID very well, but they were also very strict. So
sure.
I actually spent months on end in for sure one city and also a good part of it in one apartment.
Whoa.
And,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, couldn't go anywhere. And from like a culture and art perspective, all theaters had to be closed. Actually, right now, everything is closed again because as so many places in the world, we're having our second COVID spike.
Same here. Wow.
Yeah. I think it's the fall winter. Is hitting
so
the
Malaysia,
world right now.
Malaysia was strict, and you were stuck inside for months.
I was. So we were very the strict lockdown. I think was like 6 to 8 weeks.
Oof.
So what I ended up pivoting to is like I think after 2 months they allowed domestic travel again, and that was actually an interesting when I allowed my mind to kind of pivot from this, oh, I have this plan of I want to travel. There's a list in my life book. I want to travel to these countries in the next years and to like let go of this and be like, let's see what places here have I not seen yet? Or maybe what have I seen and what can I rediscover? Let's get out.
Oh, it's in my backyard. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially also get out into nature where, you know, you don't have a bunch of people breathing on each other in a confined space.
Exactly. Get out into the woods where, yeah. No, that's exactly right. I think that's huge and a lesson that Americans, I feel, need to really take to heart. We have this massive, beautiful country and we're all trying as best we can to vacation outside of it. I like the idea of exploring what's in your own backyard and also staying fluid to the pressures of life, right? Like, COVID is something that was completely out of everyone's control and not scheduled into our life vision. You know what I mean? Talk about being fluid with the Lifebook program. I'm glad that you were able to kind of adapt around that and still think about things like travel goals and time in nature, even though you had this whole hamper of, pandemic.
Yeah. To be honest, though, it did take me a while, like especially the first few weeks where I was like fully confined to my apartment. Actually, what I kind of needed to do is to connect the dots between things I had learned in other categories, like specifically character and relationships that are more about detachment from outcomes and all of these things, and realized that I could apply this to my quality of life goals and like ask myself things like, okay, why do I travel in the first place? And it's about experiencing beauty, as I said before, and like that sense of wonder and fulfillment that comes from seeing like beautiful natural sights. So also seeing like something that's been created by other people and just to be like exalted in that way.
Oh, exalted. I love that. Awe and beauty and exaltation.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And just like, that's kind of like the essence of like why I personally travel and also why I enjoy art actually. And then asking myself, okay, this is what I'm looking for. How can I approximate that within my current quite restricted conditions? But yeah, it was definitely a process to unpack that for myself.
Man, it's interesting because you talk about these moments of beauty and these moments of natural beauty and these moments of awe. And it was interesting. I was just helping someone through a loss. I mean, I just had a loss personally myself. Someone passed away who was a work acquaintance, pretty close to me. So, I mean, it wasn't easy for me, but more importantly, I was helping the widow through and seeing her grief, you know, a whole nother level, you know what I'm saying? And I was finding these moments of refuge where there were moments of natural beauty. Seemingly the only thing to snap out of that grief state is either like a responsibility that you have to take care of or just seeing the leaves on an oak tree blow a certain way in the wind. And it catches your eye and you just stop for a moment and you just watch it for maybe 4 or 5 seconds and then it passes. But it's this moment of natural beauty. And I was stunned and it was kind of a revelation that I saw that it was one of the few things that can kind of register to someone who is stricken with an emotion so overwhelming as grief from the loss of a loved one. So I think beauty has more power than we give it credit for.
That was so beautifully said. And yeah, it's also, I resonate very much with the like pretty much spiritual truth of the healing power of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because also I was confined in kind of like a concrete jungle and then kind of like the relief that comes from, reconnecting there and taking refuge. That's a beautiful anecdote, Jordan.
Thank you. I think COVID has a lot of weird silver linings. And I think that one of them is people are reconnecting with nature because we ripped nature away from so many people that now they're like dying for it. And people are moving out of cities into rural areas. People are gardening at home. People are growing their own food. People are growing their own plants. Obviously, this is a horrible pandemic, but there are some evolutions coming from it that fascinate me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's definitely I enjoy seeing like a lot of the ingenuity that comes up and how, even for example, with art and culture, how the local art scenes try to find new ways to still serve their audiences and how things are going online and how like, let's not kid ourselves. I think for many people, it's been like a very tough and anxiety inducing year. With a lot of grief, but also seeing like humanity overcome and adapt and still making space for beauty is very touching in a way.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. Okay, Elizabeth, let's make sure we have time here. This has been a wonderful interview and we're already blowing far into it. So I want to make sure I ask you some of the staple questions.
All right.
For instance, talk to me about supporting categories. I love talking about supporting categories. I could literally include this question in every interview I do. But for you, for quality of life, What do you find to be your biggest supporting category?
I already mentioned a little bit with character, which I think is a big factor, because
it's everything. Yeah,
having a great quality of life means having a character that makes space for the playfulness and to allow and all of those.
Mm-hmm.
But also, this is a bit going against the question. I hope you will allow it. It's not a category, but a concept you'll be very familiar with.
Oh, no, please.
One of the biggest supporting factors of my quality of life are the 12 sacred choices.
Oh, of course. It's making a big appearance this month in the interview with my dad, John Butcher. So, So you're a 12 daughter yourself.
Yeah. I was actually saying to my accountability group just last week that because I had a very good sacred choices week, like I was nailing it, I was feeling great, that they should please remind me in the future how good I feel when I have one of these weeks where I'm like, oh, it's tough and maybe I'm not going to stick with my sacred choices so much.
Wow.
Because I realize when I don't do them, I'm like all my personal categories go out of whack. And then I start deprioritizing my quality of life, actually, because I feel like things are falling apart. And there's like a certain sense that I can't make space for like the playful, fun things.
So this is really fascinating. First of all, you're totally on point. We are diving deep again into 12 Da and its effect on this category this month. But I'm fascinated because my dad has talked about this too. It's not anything new, but 12 Da doesn't work for everybody. About, I don't want to say 50%, but a large percentage of people don't like the structure and rhythm of, or the pressure of the 12 dot. It just doesn't work for them. Me and my father have theorized that it's kind of a masculine, feminine energy type thing. How if you have a lot of masculine energy and you're into things like schedule and structure, it works very well and it drives you. Whereas the feminine, more fluid side doesn't document that quite as much. And we've observed that because of a lot of the women in our family don't, but it seems more of a masculine, feminine energy type of thing. I'm not sure. Have you always been kind of a schedule-oriented, analytical person? Is this something you've had to work towards and kind of force yourself into? What does that look like?
Well, I don't want to play into any stereotypes, but I am a German and I am a project manager.
I didn't want to say it, but listen, it's just part of your, maybe part of your culture and then also part of your personality, it seems.
But I actually think so my accountability group is all women. So something that has come up over the years is that women live in seasons according to their hormonal cycle.
Mm.
So what I actually used to do for a while, my 12 sacred choices shifted throughout the month.
Oh,
like which sacred choices I would do at which frequency in certain parts of my cycle. So I feel like that might be the middle ground between the structure,
this is fascinating.
But also allow. Yeah.
Yeah, some sort of feminine energy 12 dot. I like this. Let's get to work on this team. This is interesting stuff right there. But yeah, it's just something that I've observed, and that's really funny. German project manager, so you love the analytics. But yeah, you're dead on. I mean, listen, let's be honest. If you have a 12 dot and you're nailing the dots, overall, your quality of life, your general mood, your general experience is going to be a higher vibration than when you're not nailing those dots. And for some people, that simplicity is just a lifesaver. For others, it's not as big as a game changer. So, I mean, again, Lifebook is about different answers for different people and even for different parts of their lives. So, listen, Elizabeth, this has been a wonderful interview. Do you have any parting words, any final advice for Lifebookers diving deep into quality of life this year?
I think maybe one thing that has helped me a lot with my quality of life this year that is systems. So maybe that goes back to me being structured, but I hadn't really thought about it so much in the context of quality of life before. And as I alluded to, I'm definitely guilty of like I did something that contributed to my quality of life and then I slacked off for a few months until I got back to it. So I started to try to put things on a schedule that I don't need to manage that much. So things like scheduling my next massage or skincare appointment right away before I leave the place, where I just had one. And also for a brief moment before we started recording, we were talking about coffee. My coffee, my perfume, my cat's food, Side note, I also adopted a cat this year. Great quality of life decision.
Nice.
All these things are subscriptions. So these nice things that I want in my life that help with its quality, they just show up at my doorstep once a month. So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, automating, like looking at the quality of life category and seeing some things you obviously need to free flow, but certain things you can actually structure and integrate so that they just happen and make your life better.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It seems like there's a craft product for any niche now. And it seems like, I feel like the world used to be more, or I would say the modern world, the capitalist world, the world of marketing used to be more about like accumulating a lot of things, like get all the toys, get all the cars, whatever it is. Now it's like, what are you into? You know, oh, I'm really into coffee or whatever. Well, then you need to get the highest, there's the highest quality coffee. There's the purity coffees of the world. Like, what are you into? Are you into the pop culture nerd stuff? Well, there's a subscription box that gives you all the, you know what I mean? It's kind of about simplifying, like what makes you happiest, and then put aside those reserves to invest in those things. And as my dad always says, find the things that make you happy and do more of them, right? Is it that simple?
I think it is.
I love that response. Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely where we're headed towards, because we learned that having a lot of cheap stuff doesn't really make you all that happy. It's about having a couple things that are uniquely you and indulging in them. That's how I feel.
Yeah, 100%. And for me, it's so much also about reminding myself that I get like this boost every month when like my fresh box of coffee shows up and it smells amazing.
Exactly.
And I can grind it and my whole apartment is like that. And I think ultimately, you know, the more happy I am about the little things, the more like in tune I will be with myself. And
yes,
then I'll be able to do all the other things better, like serve others better. And just, it takes so many obstacles out of my way that will arise otherwise and give me a hard time in other categories.
That's such a good point. Yeah. I mean, we call them the little things, but I think that you're right. I think they're more impactful than we think. And that self-care and that focus on quality of life is so important for a balanced and ultimately extraordinary life. Would you agree?
I 100% agree.
Elizabeth, this was fantastic. I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time. And I mean, you know, I'm such a like passionate life booker, I would say. So being able to come on here and talk a bit about my journey, it's a gift. Highlight of my week.
I love it. Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. Listen, do you want to share anywhere where people can find you? I mean, the Mind Valley Facebook group, you're up there. I don't know if you want to give out any handles if you'd like.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, you can find me in your membership Facebook group, though I have to admit I'm not that big on Facebook anymore, but I'll keep an eye on it for November. Or if people can also drop me a message on Instagram if they want to have a chat about anything we talked about. My handle is @WhatsUpElizabeth. My first name is spelled with an S instead of the usual Z. And yeah, I'd be happy to connect with other amazing life bookers.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Fantastic member of the month interview for Quality of Life. I hope you listeners enjoyed it. We will be back at you with more wisdom for each and every category, so stay tuned to the Lifebook Member Podcast. This is Jordan River and Elizabeth signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.